mighty hand of God. For Joshua would tell us, if he could be here, there is nothing too hard for our God. Listen, friend, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are today, there is nothing too hard for our God, the God of Israel.
Conservative or liberal, however they're defined. It's not about interpretation or the judgment of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power or prestige. It's about a simple message and whether we believe. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name, of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. Now we can water down theology and preach a word to suit our needs. We can justify sweet, subtle lies that are wrapped in noble deeds. We can alter our convictions to adapt to social whims, but we cannot change the gospel or the truth contained within.
It's still the
history. The cross of Jesus still remains
the price for sin that sets us free.
It's still the
cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name.
Verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. Oftentimes in our life, we come to a giant. We come to a roadblock that only God can get us through. In those times in our life, we need to trust the Lord. And I believe in this passage of Scripture, we have a blueprint in how we can conquer our giants as we face them in our lives. 1 Samuel chapter 17 in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together in Soco, and belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Soco and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had graves of brass upon his legs and the target of brass upon his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. Then Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine and were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us, I pray, as we look at your word together. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us as we consider these biblical truths for our lives, that you would help us to understand the blueprint of a young shepherd boy. And how, Lord, that we can find success in the Christian life as we face many giants in our life as well. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and give me the words to say. Lord, I know my inability to help anyone in man's wisdom or my opinion. It's your word that makes the difference. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use your word in this time, that you would use it to encourage us, Lord, that you would use it to convict us, that you would use it to help us to place priority on you in this day. Again, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us. We thank you for each one that has gathered together here this morning. I pray your blessing upon them, and I pray your blessing upon your word. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. The Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that a young shepherd boy stands up to a Philistine giant. You know, friend, oftentimes we can get into a rut where we go through the motion of the Christian life and we simply forget the basic principle that there is nothing too hard for God. Do you believe that this morning? There is nothing too hard for God. Oftentimes our giants or our troubles or our difficulties are so big that we wonder, can God help us? Can God make a difference? Can God actually get me through this trouble? And I'm here to remind you this morning that God can. God can. You go back in the Bible and you ask Abraham. You say, Abraham, is there anything too hard for God? And Abraham will say, no, God can do anything. He can even open the womb of my wife, Sarah, in her old age. You go back and you talk to a man named Moses and you say, Moses, is there anything too hard for God? And Moses will say, there is nothing too great for my God, for he parted the Red Seas. Amen. God is the God of impossible. Ask Joshua and say, Joshua, is there anything too hard for the God that we serve? And Joshua will say, absolutely nothing is too hard for my captain and my Lord. Why, he stopped the Jordan River from flowing, and we crossed on dry ground. He brought down the walls of Jericho, and time and time and time again, we've seen the mighty hand of God. For Joshua would tell us, if he could be here, there is nothing too hard for our God. Listen, friend, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are today, there is nothing too hard for our God, the God that we serve. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to remind you, you can't go far enough away from God. The reality, he is near to every one of us. And he loves us so. He gave his only begotten Son so that you could have eternal life. And he wants to save you today if you'll call upon his name. We have all sinned against him. We are all destined to hell because of that sin. But God loved us, gave his Son, and we can have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he even liveth to make intercession for him. You know, I believe that God saved a man named Paul, or God records for us in the Bible the salvation of a man named Paul, and used Paul in such a wonderful way in our Bible to show us that God can save anyone and God can do a work in anyone's life. I mean, a murderer to a missionary, a man who attacked the church to a man that preached and established that very same church. God can do anything in our life. And we watched this testimony this morning, and that's just the beginning of what God has done century after century, decade after decade, in the lives of people just like you and just like me. Friend, listen, there is nothing impossible for our God. And David believed that when he came and saw Goliath. David believed that very truth. Now, this morning, we think about David, the shepherd boy. We think of the situation that David's in. We think of the Philistines and the mighty army. The Philistines' military might was very boasted in that day. Besides their warlike nature, effective political organization, and economic power, the Philistines posed a continual threat to Israel because of their early control of the iron monopoly. Iron came into use in Palestine around 1200 BC, and the Philistines knew the secret of smelting it, and which eventually they got from the Hittites. They were able to import and smelt and forge iron and make various iron military weapons. And by enforcing a rigid monopoly over Israel, the Philistines were able to make great strides in military encroachments upon the Israelite territory. And if we go back in our Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 13, we read about this very thing. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, we read in verse number 19, the Bible says this, and there was no smith found throughout the land of Israel. And the Philistines, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. And all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. The reality is, when we think of David and Goliath, we often think of the man versus the man. But in reality, it was nation versus nation. I mean, David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath was the fact that Israel was no place to fight against this powerful nation, the Philistines. And yet we are reminded of this truth, that when God is on your side, you are always the majority. Amen. When God is on your side, you always have opportunity. When God is on your side, God delights in the impossible. So what is the blueprint and how we can take on our giants in our life? Number one, I want us to think about this. God gave David a cause. God gave David a cause. The Bible teaches us in chapter 17 that David comes to his brothers, is sent by his father Jesse, and he has some food for his brothers in the valley of Elah. And the Bible says that David comes in verse 22 and to 27. David comes to see his brothers, and he notices the condition of Israel. He notices the Philistine. He notices the fear of the Israelites. In verse 22, the Bible says, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, notice this, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. The Bible uses that expression, was sore afraid. It means that they were greatly afraid. They were terrified of Goliath. They did not react. They would not fight. No one would go and face the giant because they were terrified of this man. Listen, oftentimes in our life, we face circumstances that cause us to be so afraid that we don't move. We become paralyzed by fear. Many churches in our society today are afraid of the battle. They're afraid to get involved. They're afraid to do anything for the Lord. They're afraid to preach the whole counsel of God because of seeming judgmental in our society. And so what do? They leave parts of the Word of God out, and they refuse to preach on some of the Bible because of fear. By the way, the fear of man brings a snare. It's a trap. And so people are afraid in our society. People are afraid of seeming weird, so they don't witness to their neighbor. They don't witness to other people. They don't want to be different. People are afraid of being radical, so they don't give. I'm saying that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear does not come from God. Fear paralyzes us. It is of the devil. And so the Bible says here, the fear of the soldiers, Israel was terrified of this giant Goliath. Think about the rebuke of his brother, verse 28. Look what the Bible says here, verse 28 in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Notice the mocking there of Eliab, his brother, toward David. He's making fun of him. He's belittling his task. Hey, I want to say this. In God's economy, there are no small jobs, all right? Listen, David was a shepherd, and he might have had a little, just a few sheep, but the reality is he was exactly where God wanted him to be, and he was faithful in what God had called him to do. Little is much when God is in it, amen? Little is much when God is in it, and here he's mocking David. He says, "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou hast come down that thou mightest see the battle." A couple of things I want to make note in this passage of scripture. First of all, we find Eliab is judging David's motives. And sometimes when we have a cause, when we understand there's something greater than this life, and we live for that cause, sometimes there are people, they will question your motives. Listen, vision attracts criticism. Sometimes vision makes people feel as if they're losing control. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27, verse 4, "With wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" And the reality is David's brothers were more concerned about their reputation than God's cause. And that's a dangerous place to be. If you're more concerned about your reputation than God's reputation, then friend, you will be paralyzed with fear. You won't do anything for the cause of the Lord Jesus. David was more concerned about God's cause. David was more concerned about God's agenda than his own agenda. And we find here in this passage of scripture that he's criticized for his vision. He's criticized for doing something. The reality is that if we want to be criticized, if we want people to get angry, then all we have to do is become a failure or a success. And we're going to have criticism. If you do nothing, then no one will say a word. But if you try something and you fail, and you try something and you succeed, then you're going to find criticism. Listen, friend, don't listen to the opinions of people. Live for the audience of one. We must have a cause. There's a great cause. And David was criticized. You know, I believe criticism and praise should be treated like bubblegum. You know, you can chew on it for a little bit, but don't swallow it. Amen. You know, we need to make sure we're living our life for the Lord. And David was criticized because of his passion. He was criticized because of his cause. Look what the Bible says in verse 29. It says here, verse 29, the cause of David. It says, "And David said, what have I now done? Why are you angry with me? What have I done in my life?" He says, "Is there not a cause?" Friend, there is a great cause. There's a great cause. Let me remind you this morning, the cause of Christ. The cause of Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, the cause of the Lord Jesus. Let me talk about the cause of preaching, the cause of preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, the preaching of the word of God. Think about the cause of our hearts for God, the cause of our hearts toward God. Psalm 57, verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and I will give praise to you. God, help us today to understand this important cause, to fix our heart upon the Lord. Think about the cause of the next generation. And Joshua said unto them in Joshua 4, verse 5, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone unto his shoulder, and according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? The cause. We can't just do nothing. No, we need to step out by faith. We have a cause for the next generation to see the hand of God. And they need to see by our testimony that there is nothing too hard for God. And step out by faith and trust the Lord that God will meet the needs. Think about the cause of missions. Matthew chapter 28, it's in the Bible. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we cannot go to the uttermost part of the world. So what do? We send others to go for us. We financially support them and prayerfully support them so that they can go in our behalf. The cause of missions, the cause of the Great Commission, to tell other people about Christ, to invite people to church and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our cause. And friend, listen to me. It is worth sacrificing for. We have a cause today. And if we are going to defeat the giants in our life, it begins with a cause. And it must be a biblical cause. As we trust the Lord, as we move forward for his glory, we must have a cause. Others have faltered, but God gave David a cause. Let me say this. Number two, would you write it down? When the armor failed, God gave David confidence. When the armor failed, God gave David confidence. Look what the Bible says in verse 31. The Bible says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. This is Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. You're just a child. And he's been a warrior. It says he's been a man of war from his youth. So you're a child, and he's been a soldier since he was a child. You are in no position to fight this giant. And David said to Saul, verse 34, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, this is the truth about the whole circumstance. Verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. How did David get such confidence? I mean, without missing a beat, Here is just a child standing before the king and saying, I'll go and I'll fight this giant. And I know that I'm going to win this battle because God is with me. This boy had such confidence. Where did this confidence come from? Well, the Bible makes it clear his confidence came because of past victories. His confidence came because of past victories. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Would you turn there? Romans chapter 5. Look at your life for a moment.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.